Morning. Today's daf is daf Samach Tes. We'll begin at the very top of daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph. We're learning about the ksuba, the tnai ksuba, the things that are added into the ksuba. And yesterday's daf taught us that there's even an amount of money that would go from the deceased father's estate for his daughter's dowry. Rebbe said it's 10% of the nechassim, 10% of the property. What about if the father dies and the sons now sell some of his property, or they collateralize some of the property? Is the obligation to provide for the daughters the dowry so strong that it would overrule the collateralization? It would overrule the sale? How far do we go with this law of giving daughters a dowry? So a story. Rav had sent a letter to Rebbe. And in that letter, Talalei Rav le Rebbe bein ichiti. Rav wrote to Rebbe among the lines of that letter the following question: Ha'achin sheshibdu, brothers who obligated. Now that is a deliberately vague phrase. They didn't say brothers who sold. They didn't say brothers who collateralized. It says brothers who obligated the property of their father that they inherited. Mahu. What is the halacha? Can their sisters take from that property which is obligated for their livelihood or for their dowry? Explains the Gemara. The letter arrived to Rebbe. Hava Yosef Reb Chiya Kameh. And at that moment, Reb Chiya was sitting in front of Rebbe. Amar Le, so Reb Chiya said to Rebbe, what obligation is Rav unsure about that he's writing to you? Is it Machru? Is it that the brothers sold the property and now the sisters would like food or would like a dowry from property that their brothers sold? Oh, or maybe it's even less than sale. Mishkenu, the brothers collateralized the property. They borrowed money and they said this land that we inherited from our father is the guarantee that the money will be paid back. It's a collateral. If we don't give you the money back, take the land. And we see questioning whether collateralized land can be seized by sisters for their food and dowry. Amar Le, so Rebbe answered Reb Chiya, my nafkamina, what's the difference what Rav was asking about? Bein machru, ubein mishkenu. Whether the brothers sold the land or shemishkenu, they collateralized the land. The law is motziin leparnasa. We would take from that land for the dowry. The ein motziin lemizonos. But we wouldn't take from that land to provide for food. Now the Rav, who had asked the question, why did he write brothers who obligated? Why didn't he write brothers who sold or brothers who collateralized? He could have used the word mashkon. He could have used the word mechira. Why did he use the word shibud? So the Gemara answers. E machru kami. Gemara asks Rav. E machru kami boile. If his real question was about brothers who sold, whether the sisters can take the land that was sold. So, nichtevle, machru. Why didn't he write to Rebbe? What's the law about brothers who sell land? The mishkenu kami boile, if his question was about brothers who had collateralized land, nichtevle, mishkenu. So why didn't he ask if brothers collateralized land? Can the sisters collect it for their food and dowry? Answers the Gemara, Rav Tarvayu Kami Boyle. Rav was not sure about both. And that's why he used a vague phrase which would include both. That's why he thought. V'savar, he felt like this. Iksiv nalei, if I'll write to my teacher, Rebbe. Can sisters collect from land that their brothers machru, from land that their brothers sold? Hanicha, so I'll have an answer if he's going to say, Yishalach li, if he's going to send back to me, demotzi, he's going to say that the sisters can collect from land that was sold. So I'll say, okay, if the sisters can collect from land that was sold, certainly they can collect from land that hasn't yet been sold, that's only been collateralized. Kol shekein b'mishkano. But, Yishalach li, if he's going to send back to me, ein motzin, the sisters cannot collect from the land that was sold. Akati mishkano kamibayali, I'll still have a question. Maybe they can't collect from land that was sold, but maybe they would be able to collect from land that was only collateralized. That maybe they still would be able to collect. And I wouldn't have an answer for that question. If I would only ask him, Mishkanu, if the brothers collateralized land, can the sisters collect from the collateralized land for their dowry and for their food? If he would respond to me, the ain motzi, and that they can't take from the collateralized land. So I would say, if they can't take from collateralized land, kol shekein machru, certainly if they would sell, they wouldn't be able to take from sold land. But if he's going to respond, motzi, and they can collect from collateralized land, akati machru kamibayali, I'll still have a question. What about the case of where they sold the land? Can the sisters collect from sold land? So that's why Rav thought, Echtov le shibdu. So let me write that my question is about land that the brothers obligated to mashmahachi umashmahachi, which is one phrase that implies both sale and collateralization. And in fact, Rav's response was that both in the case of sale and in the case of collateralization, the sisters can collect from the land for their food, for their dowry, but not for their food.
And they take precedence, do they?
Yes.
They take precedence.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, that's right. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. However, Rabbi Yochanan said, Echad zeh ve'echad zeh, both in regards to dowry and in regards to food, Ein motzien, they cannot take it from land that's been obligated either by means of sale or by means of collateralization. Iboilu, they had a shail in the yeshiva. The Rabbi Yochanan says that a sister cannot collect from lands that her brother sold for her dowry or for food. Is it that lo shmiya leha de Rebbe? He never heard that Rebbe said she could collect her dowry from such lands. But had he heard that Rebbe said she could collect her dowry from such lands, have a makabale, maybe he would accept it. So then really we should paskin like Rebbe and not like Rabbi Yochanan. Odilmor, maybe Shmiele, Rabbi Yochanan heard that Rebbe disagrees, and he's arguing with Rebbe, v'lo makabale, and then we should paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, because we know that generally halacha kibasra, halacha is like the later authorities. So the Gemara tries to resolve this question. Tashma, come in here, didn't we learn? If a fellow died, and he left over two daughters and a son. So the son inherits the property. And the the daughters, they still get food, and they get a tenth of the property for a dowry. The kadma rishon, and the first girl got up, the natla yisur nachasim, and she took 10% of the property for a dowry. Lo yispik kashni alikbos. And before the second daughter had a chance to get another 10% for her dowry, her brother, who had inherited all of everything, died. So now he didn't have kids. So now all of the property of the father goes from being the brother's possession to being the sister's possession. So now there's the following interesting question. Do we say that what's left is divided 50-50? Or do we say, hey, she first gets 10% for dowry, and then after that, what's left is divided 50-50? Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Shnia Vitra, the second daughter, lost her 10%. Rather, all the money now belongs to her and her sister, and therefore it's all divided 50-50. The first daughter had gotten married first, oh thank you, so that one already got 10%, and now there's no longer the law of 10%, there's a 50-50. Reb Chanina said, Reb Yochanan, G'dol mizu amru, an even greater chiddush was said in terms of a dowry, that motzien leparnasa vein motzien lemezonos, that we would take money away from people who purchased land or people who had the land given to them as a collateral in order to provide for the dowry. And we wouldn't take money away, we wouldn't take land away from people who purchased land or who had land given to them as collateral to feed the daughter. So we see that the dowry obligation is a very strong obligation. V'at amrit shniya vitra, and you're saying in this case, where the first daughter got her dowry, but before the second daughter had a chance to get married, the other person died, the son died. You're saying the second daughter lost her dowry. I don't understand. If the money is here, certainly she should get her dowry. The same way we'll take money away from... If the money isn't even here, it's already in the hands of purchasers, we take it away to give her a dowry. So certainly when the money is here, we should give her a dowry. Now, if you're going to say, Reb Yochanan never heard this chiddush, that we take the money of the dowry away from people who bought land. So name alay, he should tell Reb Chanina, Man Amra, I never heard of such a thing. I never heard of such a thing. Who said this? So what do you see? That apparently Rabbi Yochanan didn't say this. Rabbi Yochanan had heard what Rabbi said. He knew Rabbi's halacha, that for the dowry we take from the meshubadim, from that which is obligated or sold. And he doesn't agree with it. So Gemara says, maybe not. Dilman, maybe lo'olam lo shmi'alei, maybe Rabbi Yochanan never heard Rabbi's shita. V'chi shmi'alei, and now that he heard it, kabil, he did accept. He did accept it. He did accept that halacha. But even so, even though he accepts the halacha that for the dowry we take it away from the land that the children sold, nevertheless, in the case of the two daughters and the one son, the shiny asam, when that son dies, there it's different. Tika revach besa. And the money that's left, it's much more than just 10%, right? It's all the money of the father now being split between the two girls. So a girl is getting more than 10%. So because she's getting more than 10%, Chazal didn't institute here that she should get a separate 10% plus to 50%. She gets the 50%. I saw here in the Masifta, the Tosfos Rit explains the whole idea that a daughter should get 10% of her father's estate as a dowry is because we make an assessment that a father doesn't want his daughter to be embarrassed when she gets married. So therefore we're saying he would want her to have a dowry. How much? A respectable dowry, 10% of his estate. But here in this case, she's not embarrassed. She's a rich girl. She has 50% of the estate. So to say, oh, but her older sister got 10% first. So she should also get 10% first and then get the 50%? That doesn't make sense. The bottom line is that the father doesn't want to be embarrassed. He's not being embarrassed. His daughter is getting married as a rich girl. And therefore, she's not entitled to the 10%. She just gets the 50%. Whereas when the brothers sold some of the land, yes, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that she can take that land to get the 10% if there's no other money available for that 10%. Asks the Gemara, Amar le Rav Yemar le Rav Ashi. Rav Yemar said to Rav Ashi, Elameata. So if you're going to say this logic, that the whole idea, as the Tosfos Rid explains, the whole idea why a girl gets 10% of her father's estate is so that the father shouldn't be embarrassed that his daughter is a nebuch when she goes to get married and she doesn't have money. So there could be other cases when she's not a nebuch. For example, Ashkecha Metzia Ba'alma, let's say she's walking down the street and she finds a treasure chest. She found a 20-carat diamond ring. She found a winning lottery ticket. Tiika Revach Besa, now she's a rich girl. Tachanami Delo Yavinanla. So now we're going to say, oh, she doesn't get 10% of her father's estate because she's a rich girl getting married. So now we're not going to give her Achanami Delo Yavinanla Yisra Nechasim. We're not going to give her the 10%. We don't find such a thing. Amar Le, Sir Ravashi answered Rav Yemar. I'm saying when she has a lot of money from her father's estate. If she has a lot of money from her father's estate, she doesn't need the 10% from her father's estate. But if she has a lot of money from other places, that's irrelevant. And she still gets 10% of her father's estate. Amar Amemar. Amemar had the following question, or the following chiddush. Bas, a daughter, who for her dowry gets 10% of her father's estate, Yoreshes Havya, she has the status of a person inheriting, as if she'd be a son who's inheriting her father's property. And it's not that she is a Baal Aschov, that she's someone who has an obligation and the brothers have to pay off the debt that's owed to her. She is a Yorish. Amalei Rav Ashi L'Amemar. Rav Ashi said to Amemar, so what's the Chiddush? What are you trying to say? Are you trying to say that Ilu Boy L'Saluka Bezuzi, if the brothers want to give her cash, and they don't want to let her take land, they don't want her to take real estate, Hachanami D'Lomati L'Saluki, is it like a person who inherits, where one brother can't tell another brother, hey, I'll take all the land, I'll give you some cash for the land that you're not getting. We say he can't do that. So here too, we're going to say that she is one who inherits, that the brother can't pay her off with money. Amar Le, Amar said, in exactly. She is someone who inherits, and therefore the other brothers can't give her cash so that they could keep all the real estate. And another halacha, that Rav Ashi asked Amemar, when you say she's one who inherits, does that mean that Iboy Lisluki Bechada Ara, Hachanamid Lomatzi Maskula, Nisalikla? If they would try to say, you know what, we'll give you one field, but you don't have 10% of all the fields. You'll have one field. That they can't do that. Amalei said, correct. And they can't do that. So that's the view of Amemar. Amemar holds that this 10% is inheritance. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi said, Bas Balas Chov Havya, the 10% that is due to the daughter as a dowry, the 10% of her father's estate, is not treated as inheritance, it's treated as a loan. That she's owed a loan. Af Amemar and Amemar also Hadar Beh, he changed his mind. He said it's a loan, it's a debt. To Amar Rav Ben Yumi Breid Rav Nechumi, because Rav Ben Yumi taught, the son of Rav Nechumi taught, Havo Kohim Nekameida Amemar, I was standing in front of Amemar, Vasoya Itzel Kamei, and a woman came before him, Havo Kaboya Yisr Nechasim, she wanted the 10% of her father's estate, Bechazidu Ledaite, and I saw that the opinion of Amemar was, the boy Lissaluki Bezuzi Avimisalaklay, that if the brothers would have wanted to give her cash, they could have given her cash, and she then would not have been entitled to real estate. So you see, she's not someone who inherits. Someone who inherits is always entitled to real estate. And other siblings can't say, we're not giving you real estate, we're giving you cash instead. How did I know this? Deshami Me'achi. I heard from the brothers. Avu Kamrile. They were Kamrila. They were telling their sister, Ilu Avalon Zuzi. Salikna Mezuzi. If we would have had cash, we would have given you cash. Ishtik. And Amemar was quiet, and he didn't say, no, well, even if you would have had cash, it wouldn't have worked, because you would have had to get rid of the land. The fact that he was quiet, it shows that he accepted. Vahashta now. The Amrit that you're saying, both according to Amemar and according to Rav Ashi, the 10% that the orphan girl gets from her father's estate for her dowry is treated as a loan obligation and not treated as an inheritance obligation. Who's the one who owes her the loan? Is it her father who owes her the loan? Or is it her brothers who owe her the loan? L'may nafkamina, what's the difference whether it's the father or the brother? Either way, she's got to get the 10%. Well, there's a lot of differences. Number one, le'migva le'benin ishalo b'shvua. If I owe you money, then when you come to collect it, you can take land from me. And there are three types of land. There's idius, beninus, and ziburis. Ideal, middle, and lowly. The halach is that a baal chov takes middle-level land. And he doesn't have to swear, oh, Zev didn't pay me. If he has the IOU, we don't assume that I paid him. He can go take the land without a shvua. However, if somebody owed me money and he died, and I'm coming to his orphans to collect money from the orphans, I don't get the middle-level land. I only take low-level land, ziburius. And when I take low-level land, I have to swear I wasn't paid by the father and he didn't tell the kids, because they don't always know what's going on with the father, even though I still have the IOU. I need to swear. So this would be the nafkamina. This would be the difference. If we say that the money is owed her by her father, so then for her to collect the 10%, she would have to swear. And what could she get as the currency to fulfill the 10%? It would have to be ziburius, lowly land. But if we say that the brothers themselves owe her the money, that it's the chov from them, she could get beinonis, and she wouldn't have to swear. So that's the difference. L'migva l'beinonis shelo b'shvua. Does she collect middle-level land without having to take an oath? The ziburius b'shvua. Or does she have to only collect lowly-level land, and she has to swear before she can get it?
Rabbi, how do we hold regarding the proceeds, the income from this land? Does she get, because if she's loan, can she get interest? What's the situation?
I don't think it's not hers yet. She wouldn't be able to get the proceeds.
So she has to redeem it.
I would think she'd have to collect it. I would think. So, Mai, what's the halacha? Is it that the father owed it to her? Or is it that her brothers owe it to her? Tashma, come in here to Ravina. Ravina had a case with the daughter of Rav Ashi after the death of Rav Ashi. Agve lebrati de Rav Ashi. He collected for the daughter of Rav Ashi from Marbrid Rav Ashi, from Mar the son of Rav Ashi. Beinonis, he collected land that was middle level. The Shalom b'shvu, and he didn't make her take an oath. Then we bred Rav Sama. There was another son of Rav Ashi, Rav Sama, the son of Rav Ashi. He died, and his son inherited his portion. So he collected from him, Miziburius, because that's already a debt of his father. So he collected from him, from the lowliest land, Bishvua, through taking an oath. So you see that it is a debt on the father. Next issue. This 10% of the property of the father, 10% of the estate, is it collected from land or collected from chattel, from movables? There was a story. A woman came to Rav Nechemya and she asked him to go to Rabba Bar Rav Huna, who was the dayan where she lived, and to collect on her behalf the 10% from whatever it could be collected from. So Shalach le Rav Nechemya b'ed Rav Yosef le Rabba Bar Rav Huna. So Rav Nechemya, the son of Rav Yosef, sent to Rabba Bar Rav Huna Zuta, the young one, Mina Harda, from the Harda. He sent him the following. Ki asyo yitzach l'kamat. When this woman's going to come before you, Agva Isur Nechasim, give her the 10% of her father's estate. Afilu mitz trubla, even from the millstones, because the millstones are considered attached to the ground, and therefore it's collecting from ground. Amar Rav Ashi said, Ki avinu b'Rav Kahana, when I was at the home of Rav Kahana, hava magvinu nafilu mi'amlo debesi, we would collect the 10% even from the rent checks that were given to the father's real estate. That's also considered real estate, that the girl is entitled to 10% of. Shalach le-Ravanan le-Ravuna. Ravanan sent to Ravuna that they should, the following message. Huna chavrin shlom. Huna, our friend, peace to you. Ki asya ha-Yitzchak le-Kamach. When this woman's going to come to you asking for the 10% of her father's estate as a dowry, agva yisur nechasi. Give her 10% from her brothers. So then that emissary came to Ravuna. Have a Yosef Rav Sheshes Kameh. Rav Sheshes at the time was sitting in front of him. And Rav Huna got upset. He got upset that Rav Hanan called him Huna, our friend. Amarle, so Rav Huna said to Rav Sheshes, Zil Emaloi, go back and tell Rav Hanan. Uveshamti Eimad lo Amarle. He should be in Chirim. Anyone who won't say the following, Anan, Anan. Anan, Anan. Mimekarkai o mimetaltli. What do you want me to do? To collect from land or from Metaltlin? And then explain why I'm saying you should be in Chirim if you don't call him Anan, Anan. Because man Yosef, and I'm sorry, and ask him another question. Uman Yosef be Marzecha Bereisha, who sits in the house of mourning in the front? In other words, he's saying the same way when a mourner sits, he sits in front, not because he's the biggest Talmud Chacham, but just because he's the mourner. So you're not the biggest Talmud Chacham. But you got appointed as the head of the Bezin because you were the only guy there. So who are you to call me Huna, my friend? You know, a little respect here. You should be calling me Rav Huna. So as the Rav Sheshes came to Rav Hanan, Rav Sheshes went to Rav Hanan to do this that Rav Huna had sent him to do. Amar Le, and Rav Sheshes said to Rav Hanan, Mar, you, Rabba, are great. But you know what? Rav Huna is Rabbi the Rabba. Rav Huna is greater than the great. He's greater than you. And Rav Huna was so upset about what you did, he's going to put into Chirim a person who's not going to tell you the following offensive missive. So I have to do it. Listen, if he's not putting me in Chirim, I wouldn't be saying this, but I have to because he's going to put me into Chirim if I don't do it. So I've got to say it. Anan, anan. Anan, anan. Mimekarkoyam imitaltli. Do you want Rav Huna to collect the 10% from land or from movables? And here's the offensive point. Man Yosef bar Marzecha Bereisha. Who gets to sit up front in the house of a mourner? The biggest Talmud Chacham? No, the mourner. You're not the biggest Talmud Chacham. You got this position just because you're the only guy there. Azul Rav Hanan lekamei de Mar Ukva. So Rav Hanan went to Mar Ukva. Amalei, he said to Mar Ukva, Chazi Mar Eich Yishalach li Rav Huna. You know, look at what Rav Huna's doing to me. He's calling me Anan Anan. He's not even calling me Rav Hanan. And furthermore, Marzecha de Shalachli, O Yadana Mainiu. I don't even know what the Marzecha is. What is this Marzecha? He asks, who gets to sit in the front of the Marzecha? Amalesa Marukva said, Emily easy. All right, tell me, however, Gufaduv de Hechahavra. You know, what's the whole story here? What's going on? So Amalesa Rabbanan said, Achiv Achiv Amaisa. You know, there's a woman who came and she needed to have the 10% collected, and I sent to Huna, our friend, go collect. If you don't even know what the word marzecha is, you're going to call Rav Huna, Huna our friend, Huna our contemporary. You know, it was wrong. It was wrong, and Rav Huna is right to put you back in your place. So the Gemara now says, my marzecha. What is in fact a marzecha? It is an avil. It is a mourner. The pasuk says, "Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem." Al tavol beis marzeach. Don't go to the house of the mourner. Val teilich lispod. Val tanud lahem. Hashem told Yirmiyahu Hanavi he shouldn't comfort the mourners of Israel. Amar Rabbi Abba taught me nine lavel shemesa barosh. How do we know that the mourner sits in the front? Shanem, as it says, in regards to Eov, he said, "Evchar darkam." I will choose their path. Ve'eshi b'rosh, and I'll sit in the front. Ve'eshkon kamelach b'gdud, I used to sit like a king at the head of the troop. Kasher avaylim yinachem, where the mourners sit when they get comforted. So you see that the mourners sit in the front. Yinachem achirim mashma. I understand when it says Yinachem, it sounds like he will comfort others. Amar Rav Nachman Yisok Yinachem ksiv, when he gets comforted. Marzut Shamar Marzut just said from here, Meyach, this is the source that Marzecha is a mourner, and the mourner sits in the head of the table of the mourners. The Navi Amos said, Visar Mirzach Sruchim. So what does that mean? Mar Vizach. Somebody who is bitter and he can't be settled, a mourner, Nasa Sarla Sruchim, he becomes the minister in charge of all those who come to comfort him. Amar Rav, Rav said, Hilchos HaLacha is that in terms of the 10%, we collect it only from land, not from the movables. Bein lemizone, this is true in terms of food for the girls. Bein leksuba, this is true in terms of the ksuba of the widow. Bein leparnasa, and this is true in terms of the dowry. Next, Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches us the interesting halacha. What happens if a father had given a friend of his money? And he said, when my daughter gets married, I want you to buy a field with this money for my daughter. Now the father died, and the daughter has other ideas of what should happen with the money. So who do we listen to? Hamash l'shmos, the man who gave money to somebody relies on libito for his daughter, that he should buy for his daughter a field once she marries. And the man dies. So the daughter says, you know what? Naman bali alai, I want you to give the money to my husband. I trust my husband. He's not going to keep it for himself. He's going to use the money to buy the field for me when I want to. And in the meantime, he's going to make money off of the money. So Yasa Shalish Mashushlish Biyada. Tanakama holds, the Rabbi Meir. No, he should not give the money to her. Rather, he should buy the field, because since that was the dying wishes of the man, of his friend, mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis, according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, no, give the money to the husband, like the wife is asking, because v'chiyena elo sadeh, bottom line is, even if he would buy a field, he wrote to l'mochra, she would then turn around and say, okay, now I'm selling the field and giving the money to my husband. Harehi mechura me'achshav, she could sell it right away. So since she could sell the field, so what? You're going to buy the field because that's what the dying man said, and then she's going to turn around and sell the field. Bottom line is, it's hers. So she's saying, I don't want the field, I want the cash. Give the cash to her husband. When is this so, according to Rabbi Yossi, that we give the money to her husband? Big Adola. If she could sell the field, if she's an adult. Aval Biktana, but if she's younger than 12, she can't sell, then we wouldn't listen to her, because ain't my Siktana, klump. Because the deeds of a ketana are nothing. That's a simple way of reading it. It's a view of Rabbi Yossi. We'll see. It's not so simple. Tana Rabbanu Medina Braisa. Hamashlish ma'os lachasano. A person who gives money to a friend of his to give them eventually to his son-in-law. Likach mehen sada libito, to buy a field for his daughter. V'yomeres, and she's saying, yinasnu ma'os lebaili, give the money to my husband. And let him go do business with the money, and then eventually I'll tell him when I want him to buy a field. So I'm in a nisuin, if she already had nisuin, harishus biyada, then we listen to her, and we give the money to her husband. But min ha'eris, and if she's only arusa, she's only betrothed, yasa shalosh mashlosh biyado, then he should buy the field, the Rabbi Meir, because that's what he was commanded, that's the view of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Hagadolav, she's already an adult, Beinaminasunu, Beinaminahirisin, even if it's only Arisin, Urshus Piyada, we listen to her. Ktana, if she's a minor, Beinaminasunu, Beinaminahirisin, even if she's Nasu already, Yasa, Sholosh, Meshlosh, Piyado, then he should go by the field, he can't listen to her. My Beinayu, what's the argument between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi? Elam, if you're going to say, they're arguing about a case where she is a minor, a ktana. But Nesua, Rabbi Meir Sever, Shaspiyad, Rabbi Meir says, we listen to her. V'yas Rabbi Yossi, L'meir Rabbi Yossi is saying, Afilim and Nesua Nami, even if she's Nesua, only Gedolin, we only listen to her if she is an adult, but Ktana, but if she's a minor, low, we don't listen to her. So Ema Sefer, read the end of our Mishnah. Avil B'Ktana, but if she's a minor, in my Ktana Klum. Haman Katanila, who's saying this? Ilem Rabbi Yossi, if it's Rabbi Yossi, which is the way I explain the Mishnah, that when she is a minor, she can't sell it, she can't, you know, we wouldn't listen to her. We already heard this in the beginning of Rabbi Yossi. After all, the money is going to become a field. She could sell the field. So that makes sense when you talk about an adult. When you talk about a minor, she can't sell a field. Well, you wouldn't say that. Ella, so what must be the end of the Mishnah talking about? Not Rabbi Yossi, but it's Rabbi Meiri. So the things missing in the Mishnah is the way to read it. If a man gave money to a friend for the sake of his daughter, and she says, you know what, I want you to give the money to my husband. We don't listen to her. Rather, he still goes and he buys the field for the daughter as he was commanded by the dying man. When is this so that we don't listen to her? If she's only betrothed. But if she already had Nesu'in or Shuspiyad, we do listen to her. When is this so big doll if she is an adult? Avul Biktana, but if she's a minor, in my Saktana Klum, then we wouldn't listen to her. And even if she's a Nesu'a, we would buy the field.
So, Rabbi, the discussion is that the trustee has power only between Erusim and Nesu'in. Is that what the Yomar is saying here?
Yeah.
On the assumption that she's not that she's an adult.
That's right. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the argument is. The argument in Rabbi Yossi is if she's an adult and betrothed. Rabbi Meir holds that even though she's an adult, we wouldn't listen to her since she's only betrothed. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ameis. And Rabbi Yossi holds, since she's an adult, we listen to her because she could sell it. Who's the halacha like? Itmar, we learned, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha Rabbi Yossi. Halacha's like Rabbi Yossi, that if the money was given to a trustee, but she's an adult, since she could sell it, she's also listened to when she says, give the money to my husband. Rav Amar Rav Nachman, halacha Rabbi Meir. No, when she is an adult, we don't listen to her. When she is only betrothed, because mitzvah l'kayim, divrei ameis. And now we have a gemara that we saw back in Maseches Tainis. Ilfa tali nafshe biskaria demakusa. Ilfa climbed the stern of a sailboat. And he was all the way on the top of this boat. And he said, is there someone who can tell me halacha from the brises of Reb Chaya and Reb Oshia? If I can't prove it right from a Mishnah, I'm jumping off the stern of the boat, I'm jumping off the mast of the sail into the sea. So Ben Yoyo, this is what he's going to commit suicide. He said, no, he knew how to swim. Asa usava. So a man, an old man, came. Tanali, he said, well, we learned in a brisa. Haomet nu shekel of nib b'shabbos. A person who says, as he's dying, give my children every week a shekel for their livelihood. Or you need to let him sell it. Then he dies, and we see that the costs are higher. To live, a person needs 2 shekel. So nosim lem sela, we give them 2 shekel from his estate for them. But if he said, Al titnu lahem ela shekel, I want you to only give them a shekel. Einosin lahem ela shekel. And we only give a shekel. And if he said, Imesu yirshu acherim tachtehem, if my children die, let other people inherit the property. Bein shamar tnu, whether he said, give a shekel, or even if he said, he said, don't give them anything but a shekel, since he's willing to give the money away to others, einos them ella shekel. Must mean he wants to only give them a shekel because he wants others to have a chance to get money. So where is this from? Amar Le Yilfa said, Hamani, I'll tell you where it's from. It's our Mishnah. It's Rabbi Meir. It's Rabbi Meir to Amar Mitzvah L'Kayim Devri Ameis. It says there's a mitzvah to fulfill the wishes of a dying man.